Shot.
Let's go. More the
Muscle. Hello and welcome to episode 430 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me this week is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat. Hey. Yo, so before we get into our weeks, and I'm pretty excited for all of our weeks, honestly, we've got a little bit of LeagueCast news. We got a new patch, 10.10, is on the horizon if it hasn't been... Oh, it's already been patched, right?
Yeah, it sure has.
Pog. We have one story. We have a tiny bit of LCS action. Spoiler, we will be talking about Doublelift again. we got Roundtable, and then we're going to round it out with quite a few emails. Some pretty good emails this week, actually. I mean, not that we usually don't get good emails, but some that stood out to me this week. So, Aiden, how was your week?
So, my week, to begin, I told Colton this earlier in the... I said, hey, can I substitute my weekly discussion for a rant? But I do really want to quickly say I didn't play much League. Lots of Sea of Thieves, lots of fun stuff, yada, yada, yada. I played Tekken today with Kennedy. That was fun. Mario update. I got sub 30.
Pog! That was so sick. How many runs did it take you, do you think, total?
Nine completed runs.
That's insane, actually.
Yeah, I think my counter for like resets is like 50 something, but
that's
like
not bad.
A lot of it's just resetting early and stuff like that. So it's fun. Awesome. I feel like I can do the game in under 35 minutes every single time now. Like I could like easily do it for sure under 35.
That's sick.
I'm also happy because I didn't have to like grind out like things. Like I didn't have to like grind out like new stars and stuff like that and to like perfect them, because I really don't want to grind the game. I just wanted to like play it so I could just like do that whenever I wanted. I feel like it's cool. Yeah. Speedrunning game. Anyways, my weekly rant, you can skip 5 minutes if you don't want to hear this. So if anyone's a big fan of the show and you've been listening for a while, one of my favorite games of all time, called The Culling.
It's
the game that kind of kickstarted battle royale as a genre. It's a like 16 person deathmatch in an arena. Mainly it's a battle royale kind of focused on melee weapons. It was really, really cool. It had a, like a rock, paper, scissors, almost like fighting style where like you could block, push, or like hit. And those like kind of worked in rock, paper, scissors pattern. Anyways, game was fantastic. And then the dev team, killed the game through patches, just like by making the game worse and worse through every patch. And the game finally died out and they, shut it down. And then months later, they released The Culling 2, which was a PUBG like knockoff. It was like they tried to like take The Culling name, but they made it about guns, and the game was all about physical like melee weapons and stuff. And it was just like, it was a really, really fucking trash PUBG clone. And its max players of all time was like 240. And after 18 hours, it had two players online because it's just a bad game. And then they obviously refunded everyone and shut down the game. And then months later, they brought The Culling back with The Culling Origins. They redid their monetization system, made it free to play, and launched it again, and then it died a couple weeks later.
A couple weeks.
So here we are again. They're bringing it back again, it just, honest to God, the people who run this company must be fucking stupid, dude. Like, they must have just stumbled upon a great game the first time, because how to fuck this up three times, coming up, this is gonna be the fourth time, by the way, because there's no way, it's somehow worse than all the other attempts, by the way. They're bringing it back. It's coming to Xbox first, and then it's gonna come to PC after. You're being charged for it again. You know how it was free to play last time, it didn't have the player base, so they're making it $5 again. It's a $5 game to buy. It's reasonable though, who cares? It's a great game, fantastic game. You can only play one match a day. You get tokens to play, every day you get one token to play a game. And if you win, you get another token to play. But if not, you get to purchase a token for $1, or you can purchase a pack of tokens for a pack of 20 tokens for $5. Or you can buy an unlimited access pass for 7 days for $2, or you can buy a 30-day unlimited access pack for $6.
What the fuck?
Is that not the worst fucking monetization option you've ever heard?
To buy the game, do you get more? Pay for a subscription, and it's not even consistent.
So, yeah. Do you get more tokens if you win? Like,
if you win, you get a token to play. Okay.
What if you play second? Do you get a token?
No, it's if, only if you win.
Okay. So one out of every 8 players is going to get to play again.
And no, one out of 16.
16. Sweet.
And like, just what's crazy about this is the fact that your game, when you re-released it the second time, died with not enough players, with it being a free-to-play game.
Yep.
Now they're charging to play, and then charge... You're paying to pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
And they think this is going to work. Dude, it's fucking... It has a worse business model than fucking mobile games. It's crazy.
Can you imagine if you had to put a quarter in every time you wanted to play a game of League of Legends?
I guess how quickly I wouldn't fucking
had to buy
play
League
anymore.
League,
and then you had to put in a quarter every time you want to queue up for a ranked game unless you won.
Dude, are there honestly any non-MMO games that could survive on that
arcade machines?
No.
That's it.
No.
And they died.
Style,
it's
I
just,
guess.
It's
yeah.
fucking wild. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Like, at this point, dude, you have to imagine the people who are running the company have no idea what they're fucking doing at all. Like, that's crazy. It's crazy that this is their fourth attempt at this series, and they've already fucked it up before it's launched.
How much money through Patreon do you think we need to raise until we can buy the culling asset and we can run the game properly?
I don't know, man.
We probably need a subscription first.
No, we're going to run it as a free-to-play game. Like it should
that's,
so we can send more than one email. Fucking imagine if Gmail worked that way. You buy Gmail a quarter every time you send it a fucking email.
Sorry, I just had to rant about that because it's one of my favorite games of all time. And it's just fucking amazing that they fuck it up every single time, man. It's crazy.
Jesus. I feel like I personally just want a good, like, melee-focused battle royale.
Yeah.
Because that was the best part of the game, right? Was like, oh, I'm gonna go crafted knives this game, right? Like, that's my goal.
Yeah, super sick.
Yeah. And guns were strong, but not, like, overpowered.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really well done. It was a really well done game. It's just fucking crazy that the company is that incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that you release this and you're confident. Like, how many people in the company went over this and were like, this is a great monetization model that people will like?
I mean, the only ones that matter, honestly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Whoever, like, yeah. The one person in charge.
Yeah. Like, the people who are shitting or, like, working on it and think, okay, this is a bad idea, probably don't have a say in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
Yeah. That's insane.
It's unbelievable, man. It's like, I was so excited. I was like following this one guy's Twitter who's been like working on it. Like, he's been like tweeting like little like teaser things. I'm like so excited for it. And this comes out and I'm like, wait, this is a joke, right? And it's not a joke. They've created press releases to send out to like different sites, and it's unreal.
That's so tragic.
All right, but can we talk about a different announcement that is one of the hypest things I've ever been hype about? The remaster.
Oh, is it the Tony
Hawk? Tony Hawk remaster? Let's go.
Yeah. Wait, is that actually it? Oh, I was memeing.
I don't care.
Oh, no.
Like, it's not going to be anything like we remembered as kids, or at least I did, but I played the shit out of Tony Hawk as a kid. And regardless of if I'm going to enjoy it, I'm absolutely going to purchase it.
I will purchase
the nostalgia bucks.
Yes, give me
for
the
real.
Nostalgia bucks.
Tony Hawk Underground. Like, give me a remaster of that, and I'll be on it.
I do feel it's a little weird that they're just doing 1 and 2. Like, I would have loved to seen, like, just Tony Hawk remastered, and they take, like, the top 5 favorites from every game and put them all together.
The Master Tony Hawk Collection.
Yes.
Okay. The Master Hawk
Anyways,
Collection. I see.
You're weak, Colt.
I'm
sorry about that.
You're weak.
You're weak. Oh. You're weak, sorry. I was like...
I thought you were calling me weak, and I'm like, damn.
He's done that for 200 episodes.
True.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
So my week, what did I do? I played some League of Legends. My solo queue rank hasn't really moved. My TFT rank, I am currently sitting at Diamond 3, 0 LP. I was up to about 70, but then I got 2/6 and back down to 0. So just remember, in TFT, much like in regular League of Legends, about 8 wins constitutes how much you lose for 1 loss. So remember that. It's so frustrating when you get like 3/3, and then you lose that many points from 1/6. So if you're not actually hitting like first, second consistently, it's real hard to climb unless you hit third place like every single game. But there's a new patch for that, so interested to see what that does. I've been enjoying it, and I've been watching TFT streams and like trying to learn the game. I think it'd be fun to try and like push for master just for the sake of like having hit it in a game outside of regular league. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if I'm that good or not. I think I still need to play a lot of games to get where I should be ELO-wise, so we'll see how that goes. Aside from that, Dallas is reopening pretty much everything now. So, like, restaurants are open. You can go get your hair cut. You can get your nails done. Like, everything is open here. Ooh. They still encourage, like, social distancing, and some places require that you wear a mask, but, like, it's not as much as it probably should be, so I can't wait to see our city shut down again in another month when we get a huge wave of more cases.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty well my week. I'm trying to think if anything else really came up, but I think that's about it, so I'll hand it over to you, Nick.
Sweet. League was probably just okay this week. I lost a lot of games. I think almost every game that I played.
We had some fun in flex.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I necessarily played like perfectly to where I felt I deserved a win, so to speak. But we had some pretty tough matches based on matchmaking alone. I played against a Grandmaster mid lane main, if yeah. I'm not mistaken. And I didn't feel like he like dicked me that hard. It's just like, I don't know. At some points in the game, he's going to make better choices than I do, take better micro trades than I am, get a little bit more CS, and that's just going to add up.
The bigger takeaway from that is like, you are consistently a diamond D4 player, right? And this person is master tier. That's a pretty big gap, but it's not the craziest thing. On our team, we averaged like upper plat to low diamond, except for one person, and on their team they had the same thing, mostly like plat 2 through d4, except for their grandmaster player. But on our team, instead of getting a grandmaster player, we got a player that was silver 1. Like, that's that makes sense. This person's solo queue rank is silver, and this person is grandmaster. Not only do they belong in the same game, but they should fill the same slot on an otherwise even team.
And granted, like, it didn't do terribly.
No.
Honestly, did not do terribly.
It's just so funny.
It's just like, it's just one of those things. Yeah. Yeah.
What I thought was funnier was the next game where you guys had that Taric jungle one trick.
Yeah.
He only hilarious. Plays Taric jungle and he's grandmaster.
Yeah,
that's
and then
crazy.
But he decided to go like full lethality at this game.
Ah, I didn't
see
that.
Yeah, he rushed a sanguine blade instead of his normal build. Because he's a Chad.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Towards the end, he actually started, like, beating people's ass. Like, straight
That's
up, honestly.
He built his Iceborne Gauntlet and his tank shit.
Yeah, but when he's in solo queue, never builds that. Always builds, like, actual good items. Quote, good items, I suppose. But yeah, a couple rough games. On the other hand, I have been playing a ton of Legends of Runeterra. I am really starting to enjoy that game a lot. I really like the unlock system. It's selling me very hard. I feel like, I don't know, if I play a game or two every day, I unlock something, which is pretty cool. And then every Tuesday, I think, is when the weekly thing opens up. I just get a bunch of stuff all at once. So felt super good. Feels super good. Playing Gangplank, enjoying him. I just started my first expedition, which is basically arena mode, and I'm currently 2-0, so it's pretty fun. I think that's pretty much it for my week. So let's get into the show now that we're 20 minutes in. Oh, only 15. Nice.
15, yeah.
Nice. All right. So special thank you to Benjamin, who is our new patron this month. So thank you, Benjamin. We appreciate it. If you want to check out all the rest of our patrons, you can go to our website, and there's a little support wall link that you can check on. We have a tiny bit of LeagueCast news. Aiden, if you wanna guide us through this river.
Yeah, Zed Talks, us fixing champions, our D1 goes up on YouTube to the public on the 16th. Mm-hmm. So you can go check that out. We'll probably be recording our E episode in the next couple days, I would assume. Also, we're doing like a fun, like non-league related Patreon show that we're going to record tonight about JoJo localization names. We're going to do like a tier list, and I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So that will go up on our Patreon tonight. I don't think that will go back on YouTube, though, because I think our YouTube's going to be like LeagueCast only. So this is going to be like a Patreon only thing. But
yeah,
I think it's going to be fun.
But yeah, it will be fun. I'm very excited. I've been listening to the intros a lot recently. They are all so quality. I even feel like Chase is growing on me.
Yeah, Chase is the worst, but still.
Chase is the worst. Good. Chase is the worst, but it's growing on me. It's definitely growing on me.
Is the lowest rank on the tier list going to be like A+? It just goes up from there?
Shut up.
No, because like localization's different than, you know, the character. Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah. But there are some that like, I don't. Spoiler, I'm probably going to put Sticky Fingers a lot higher than the rest of you guys. I love the way he says it every time. Cool. Sticky Fingers! Sweet. let's get into the patch. Patch 1010. Boy, this is a very exciting patch because we get Lucian skins and a Lucian Prestige Edition skin.
So cool.
Pog. It's so sick. Cool. So there's stuff about player behavior, whatever. Champions, Annie. Her E damage reduction is increased, and Tibber's burning aura has been buffed.
That's a big, the Tibber's buff is big, man. Actually.
The Tibber's one is big. Yes, they double it at every single rank. So it at max rank does 40 damage per second plus 12% of your AP.
You have to remember it's an ability that can hit like multiple targets too.
Yeah,
right? Like the burning. Like that's like actually that's a pretty big buff, but I don't think it's like enough to like make Annie like good. But I mean, just like. I think it's like sick buff also is nice.
Like, I think it's going to be bigger than people think because, like, early game, right, you never max E. So you get the second point of it basically for free. But late game and team fights, reducing incoming damage by an additional 7%, like, that is big.
Mm-hmm.
Take 7% off a LeBlanc combo. That's big.
Yeah. It's just like I think it's mailed silly because like it used to be 40% before they like changed it out for like the movement speed and stuff. And I feel like I was just super underutilized in her kit, but it's like crazy powerful. It's just like super like sleeper, I think.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see any transition. I guess we talked about this a little bit on the patron show for the A's. Mm-hmm. Go check it out. I'd love to see a transition away from a burst mage and more to like a control mage. I think like Glacial Annie would be so fun. I don't know if there was some interaction with your abilities on CC'd targets or something like that.
Yeah,
but oh well.
What if
on to the next champion
to target a blaze and then when she hit them with a different ability it was stronger?
Whoa,
like what if Tibber's bounce
and had a different it had a different attack or a different
Diana's
effect.
Getting some fucking nasty nerfs this
true
patch.
This champion's unplayable now. I can't believe Riot would do this to a character.
Nerfed her base health by 24 and nerfed her attack damage by 0.04.
I cannot wait until a Diana flames me and is like, I would have killed you if it weren't for that AD nerf you got out with 0.04 HP.
So 24 HP is significant. Right?
It's significant level one, yeah.
Yeah, it's significant level one. It starts to reduce, I don't know, become less significant as the game goes on. 0.04 attack damage? Like, is there ever a scenario?
So they're rounding it down, right? That's the thing. It only pisses me off because they say attack damage decreased in, like, the text.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It should just say rounded. But, like, they're like, this is a nerf.
Anyway. Yeah. Irelia, her E base damage has been increased, looks like, by flat 10 at level 1, flat 30 at max rank?
Yeah, scaling up to 30.
Nice.
Yeah, Katarina, passive dagger AP ratio has been decreased later.
Weird how her passive does
That's
the
probably
most damage
a good thing.
Kit.
Nice. Her passive had a 1.0 ratio.
and you proc it seven times in a fight. Kane, they're nerfing Red Kane. They're reducing his heal a little bit, which is kind of nice.
Whoa, surprise. Kane nerfs after, what, six consecutive buffs?
Yep.
Nice.
Kled's Q cooldown has been increased by 2 seconds at first rank, but it still scales down to the same thing, so a little bit weaker early game for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You max it, so it's probably not that big of a deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Misfortune, W max bonus movement speed has been decreased.
Yeah.
All right.
Maokai base mana decreased and Q cost is increased. I don't think it's that big of a deal,
no,
honestly.
It's not. It's,
when they say base mana decreased, it's by 2.2.
2.28, yeah.
Yeah, but his
mana. Whoa. Round properly, please. 2.3. Unplayable.
Q does cost 10 more mana now, so it's pretty huge.
With those in combination, he's
it's
fucked.
It's over for him. Deforestation is a real problem in today's world.
That's true. That's fucked up.
Nidalee, her Q ratio has gone up from a 0.4 to a 0.5. But that also means that
Sivir.
Max range, it goes from 1.2 to 1.5. So that's kind of significant.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a little scary. Sivir, E mana restore increased. Boys, her level one, I don't
that's
remember
insane.
What champion we talked about this on. She gets level three mana restore at level three spell shield mana restore, which you maxed last,
yeah.
At level three now when you put a point into it. That's insane.
It's
110
level
mana?
That's a lot. That's actually so big for lightning, I think.
Honestly.
Yep. Soraka is getting some buffs. They're increasing her Q base damage and her W health cost is being reduced. Or sorry, W health cost reduction is increased. Wait, so.
So the amount.
Oh, that's big. That's a big buff.
That's a big buff. Yes.
Yeah, because they made it so if you hit someone with Q while you're like getting the heal over time, you get like a heal, like the health cost of your heal is reduced, which is like
yes.
a really nice feature for her. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I feel like she's already in a good spot though. She didn't need buffs, but hey.
Yeah, she was fine.
Up next, we have
Taric. Good boy, Nick.
I know. I was just reading it to try and understand what was happening. So,
shut up.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry,
base health talking. Growth has decreased, so he has a little bit less health, and the bonus armor ratio on his W has been decreased later in the game. So not as strong, but still 14% of Taric's armor is pretty good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to change
a lot. His strength lies in the fact that he can stun entire teams and make entire teams invulnerable.
I would love to see his heal cost a little more mana, but his passive charges would restore like some back if you used it on like a champion.
That, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, sort of incentivize fighting a little bit. What a well-designed character. Twisted Fate. Base attack damage and armor increased. Our mana cost has been decreased. Boys, we're killing one of the memes. His ulti no longer costs 150 mana at level 1. Or
yeah,
just
yeah,
period.
It's
yeah, it's going
now.
Yeah, going back down to 100.
Cool. And then they're buffing the fuck
biggest
out of
buff.
Oh, let's
buff
go.
Base movement speed increased. Base health, mana, and mana regen around it.
Wait, why did they say it there? Why did they say it there? And
they're
not
buffs.
For...
because one of them's a nerf, Nick. That's why. They have two buffs and a nerf
here.
Yeah,
one of them
so
is
movement
down
speed
by
being buffed by 5.
0.006.
That's why they're rounded, Nick. They're not a buff. If the mana regen wasn't getting nerfed by 0.006, then it would say buffed.
So what if they buffed it up to 7? Well, okay, 7.6 is a buff, but it was like,
yeah.
I don't
energy,
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck,
yeah, they would
what
have
if they just didn't
increased.
Tell us they were adjusting a number by 0.006?
They,
yeah.
Honest to God, though, they should just say, like, hey, we're rounding these things. Pure, just don't give a shit about that.
Also,
like, just fuck off. Like,
also,
that's all they have to do.
Are we going
to
really round his base mana to 271 and his base health to 594? Like, just make them goddamn even numbers.
Yeah.
Like 595 and 270.
Well, that is an
easy.
Even number, but I know what you mean. yes, just stop buffing Udyr, guys. You're getting out of control with these.
That being
buffs.
Said, 350
dude,
base
the character
is
gonna be
pretty
fucking
nuts.
Wild. It's pretty fast.
Especially
it's
when you have a movement speed. But that's what he does. And a little dash you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's actually nice. Like
I think movement speed and like movement speed and probably like attack range are the biggest things where the smallest change affects the character crazy. Right, like if you add like 25 to a character's attack range, it's huge.
For sure.
Pog.
Are you gonna play Udyr this patch?
Cool. And then we have a lot of maybe, and I'll probably get frustrated because he's still dog shit. So that's kinda where I'm at. We have a lot of Earth changes. You can go see it. Earth is back starting tomorrow, Thursday. May, we're in May, right? Jesus. May 14th. So hey, check that out. And then a lot of bug fixes and some skins. Pulsefire Lucian, the Prestige Edition for that. Pulsefire Pantheon, Fiora, and Echo.
Oh, another Echo skin.
I think Echo is a really good character for skins, though.
They just make waifu character skins.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Yeah, but they look cool.
Yeah, no, they look sick. I'm going to be purchasing the Pulsefire Lucian very quickly.
I guess I'll run down TFT patch real quick since I play the most of it now.
Go for it, yeah.
So there aren't really any huge changes other than they're adding a new galaxy called the like Galactic Armory where everybody starts with the same two completed items on their bench. It's like everyone could start with a red buff and a Seraph's or, you know, a Death Cap and an IE or whatever it is. And I think that that's really cool because then you have to, like, make those calls like, well, these are perfect items for this comp, but everyone has perfect items for this comp. So it's like, how can I flex these? Other than that, they made some minor changes to nerf mech pilots. They did a little buff to space pirates. They toned down Poppy, Twisted Fate, and Zaya, so they don't scale quite as well into their gold selves, but
level one carries,
man. They were nuts, and I think they probably still will be nuts, especially Poppy. I think this Poppy probably affects it like the least. They did a couple other little adjustments, but nothing crazy. The only other thing I guess I would mention is they buffed Vel'Koz a little bit, they nerfed Kale a little bit, then they changed Wukong targeting. That's actually a pretty decent one, so he's gonna hit more people with it. And I would say the biggest change of the patch is Chalice of Harmony. They nerfed it from 10 to 8, so Mana Printer Sona doesn't really work anymore. Or at least not as stupidly as it was, where she constantly casts. She has to at least auto once, unless you want to go two Seraphs and one Chalice, which then you're not even giving her team that much mana.
Fuck that comp.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. Like I like the idea. I would love to just see them make Chalice of Harmony unique. So like, if you want to do it, you have to like put a Sona and a Ziggs and like an Ahri next to each other, and they're just like bouncing off each other. But yeah, that's pretty much it for TFT. If you want to see how these affect the game itself, I'll be playing and probably losing Elo on stream, so you know where to find me.
Cool. Pog.
Sweet. So that is that, which takes us to Starries. We have one Starry. Does anyone feel particularly inclined to reading it? All right, Colton wants to read.
Title of this review is Joe Rogan, Eat Your Heart Out. 5 stars. Great pod. 10 out of 10 goofs, laughs, gags, boofs, and gaffs. Outstanding audience interaction. Ooh. Extremely informative. Feeds my addiction just nice. Ooh, yeah. Take care. God bless. That's from Jono Zimzim. I'm a fan of the 10 out of 10 goofs, laughs, gags, boofs, and gaffs.
I think I give the most boofs.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm big a boofer. I don't think I can say that, actually.
There's probably some other context that word means something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, thank you for the 5-star. Cool. Remember to keep sending those in. It helps the podcast grow, helps people find us. And you can put in hilarious comments like that, and we make us read them. If you want to hear Aiden say boofs, all you got to do is send in a starry.
Boof is a funny word.
Boof is a good word. You know what else is a good word?
LCS news?
LCS section. hey, so tell me about Lena. Tell me about Lena and Doublelift.
So we talk about this every week. This is our weekly section. We should change LCS
weekly Doublelift news.
The Lena Championship Series.
I want to say, I think this is way more in regards to Lena than Doublelift.
He's just there.
He's just present.
So recap from like before, Doublelift being a player on Team Liquid, dating president of TSM, president of esports, TSM, Lena. Little bit of conflict of interest, little bit of conflict of interest with them before they even got traded, being the fact they're on different teams and in a relationship. No proof to it, though. I think we all kind of agreed on the fact that it makes the most sense for TSM to pick up Doublelift anyways, so it's not like that would have like really swayed his decision to go anywhere else. Anyways, everything gets passed over. We go, okay, it's cool. Like, everything is being handled properly. They're responsible. Nothing conflict of interest wise is being mishandled. And then Doublelift is streaming this week, and in the background, we hear Lena say, "It's honestly not up to me, for example. No one wants to pick up Dardock. That's not my fault." So, issue one, sensitive information is being said on stream. Issue two, sensitive information is being discussed by the president in the premise of a player. Issue number three, she goes on Reddit to clarify, like, and say, like, "Oh, this was an issue with Doublelift Sound. I wasn't aware," whatever, whatever. To me, that says, hey, we probably talk about shit like this all the time. It's just this got caught by stream. And that becomes the issue of, like, everything that we were discussing last week that we're like, you know, everything's probably fine. It just goes, well, all that professionalism is right out the fucking window. Because if conversations like these are happening, like sensitive conversations are happening while someone's streaming, imagine the type of conversation you're just having casually or like without even
like
thinking.
Behind
right?
closed doors, let's just say. Also, I believe, like, he had mentioned previously in the stream that she could be heard.
Yeah.
It
was like 2 days, oh, okay. Like 2 days prior. And she's like, no, I'm not talking about anything sensitive.
Gotcha,
so it's fine.
The only other thing that I guess I'd want to bring to this is, I don't know if you guys read, Reggie made a pretty long form post discussing this stuff.
Yeah.
And the biggest takeaway for me is that she does not have influence over roster decisions for the LCS lineup, which is good that's separated, but this is still just like a massive, like, where is the professionalism? And personally, like, I'm not out for blood. I don't think she should be like fired. I would love to see like a formal reprimand or maybe like suspension, fine from TSM. Like, do something to show that you're serious about running a real organization, please.
I mean, so I don't know if Riot should take action, you know what I mean? I'm not sure if this falls in their jurisdiction, you know what I mean? Maybe it makes them go, hey, maybe our look into like this whole issue wasn't well done, like done well enough sort of thing. Maybe makes them question that. Maybe it makes them change the rules a bit. What it really should fall on is the Players Association, because you have a player like Dardock who, it sounds like, he can't find a team, and now every team who is even considering him goes, oh fuck, no one wants him? Oh, we don't have to like spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on him if he's not gonna have a team next split, right? The issue mainly comes from this. First of all, the Players Association is a bit of a joke. They haven't really done anything for the scene. Second of all, 3 out of the 5 members of the Players Association are Biofrost, Bjergsen, and Doublelift.
Yeah.
Bjergsen being a part owner of TSM, Doublelift being a person dating the person who this is revolving around, and then Biofrost just being a member of TSM. I think there's, like, that alone is a conflict of interest, is Bjergsen being a part of the Players Association while being a part owner
and,
of TSM.
Like, and TSM holds the majority of the Players Association, like, board or whatever you want to call it. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot there that I think internally TSM is an organization. I'd love to see them just taking some action. And then I think Riot really needs to look at their policies surrounding these things. You know, the investigation itself, what is allowed in terms of like player coach president relationships, like what are the policies around these, like, poaching and trading? Like, just clear things up so that this doesn't happen again. I don't think that, again, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think any of this is, like, malicious in any way. I think this is people making mistakes and a really bad look for Lena, who I think is probably still pretty good at her job and, like, just was careless and probably didn't recognize that, like, hey, this is a bigger deal than I'm making it out to be. Like, I can't have these conversations while he's streaming in the same room.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, just like an oversight. It just seems like there needs to be better rules and regulations put into place, or none at all, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
It's interesting, though. It's just funny. It's just so funny that this comes out, like, within a couple days after all that. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny, man. It's like, this is the only thing you have to not do. Oh, that's fucking funny.
And it's, like, the most incriminating scenario, too.
It's just fucking so bad, man.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Nice. On the other hand, Kabe got picked up by a Misfits.
Yeah, so. And TSM, like, didn't, like, fucking break Misfits Bank to sell him, like, based on their, I guess, goodbye thing.
Mm-hmm.
They looked for a team that, like, really, like, he really wanted to go to rather than, like, trying to find him, like, where they get, like, the most money for his contract. So that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like TSM's really good at stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also do feel like it's a lot easier when it's, like, to a different league. Like, you know what I mean? Versus, like, giving him away to, like, Team Liquid for no money. You know what I mean? You're giving him away to a different league.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Let's jump into the roundtable.
Yeah, last question was, if you were in charge of next patch, what is one change that you'd make? So all the changes would go live this patch, guys. So let's see how they'd go. So Colt said he would increase support experience level for kills and assists to increase the reward for roaming. Yay or nay for the patch notes, this patch.
Support experience level for kills, assists.
Just more, so like you get more support. You'd support, I don't know how it'd work for supports only. Maybe
yeah,
if you have a support
item,
you get more kills and
assist
experience.
Experience from assists.
So,
I like the idea. It might be abused, but it's a cool idea.
Yeah. So what prevents, like, pretty self-sufficient junglers from just picking this up?
The gold. Like, well, I guess, like, it's just not a gold-efficient item because you're never going to proc the gold on it because you're jungling.
I mean, just play new and come and chomp on the cannon minion and then leave.
True.
I like the idea, though.
Sure.
I think roams are sick. Greg said, I'd help poor Void Boy out. It's like Riot doesn't care about Summoner Shift anymore. They don't give a shit about shitty players ruining the game for others and don't try to stop smurfing, but they don't want to stop smurfing a TFT. Like you are just going to abandon your entire player base that put you on the map. I mean, just make changes to matchmaking to, like, stop smurfing and stuff like that. I don't think smurfing's actually that big of a deal. I think they need better measures to get smurfs in the right place faster.
Yeah, I mean, they've come in and said that smurfing isn't against, like, the summoner's code, right? Or the rules, whatever, that they have. I mean, there's nothing inherently wrong with smurfing. It's just, all right, you want to play on a different account? Let's get you to where you should be.
Yeah. It's just like, I think there's so much, like, ambiguity with, like, how ranked should be played. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I've talked about this, like, how, we had a great episode about this a long time, about trolling is a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really is, right? Like, obviously running it down mid and selling your items and, like, doing that is trolling. That's easy to say. Is building AP Draven trolling? Probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is playing Draven in a suboptimal role trolling? Is playing Draven top trolling?
Yeah, is going, I don't know, Blade of the Rune King Draven trolling?
Is like playing not your main role like trolling?
Yeah, or is playing not your main champion trolling?
You know, like, it's like all these things were like, they're not, but like, you're not fully trying to win. Because if you're fully trying to win, you're playing your best thing for the best situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's a weird mess where, like, I don't think the ranked experience works as well as it should in a game like League, as in other mm-hmm. games where, like, it's always the same, right?
Yeah. But maybe that's something that has given League the staying power, is that it's not the same every single time. You know, there's that variety.
For sure.
So, how many... On one hand, I don't think we played the same game ever in the 10 years that we've played, in the 30 years that we've played combined. And if we have, it's been, I don't know, sub 10 times. Or,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sub 10 times total. It's, I don't know, it's just so entertaining to get that variety.
Mm-hmm. It's just like a weird like thing. Because I feel like if you were at a high enough ELO, you'd see pro players complaining about someone in their game playing an off role.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's trolling, but I don't know. It's weird. Anyways, Robbie said, I'd flip the meta on its head, S-tier champions to D-tier, and other way around. I want to see the lower-tier champions become strong with a snap of my fingers. Imagine just nerfing every, like, high win rate character. Like, every character above 50% win rate, Nick, you just fucking gut. Every character Jesus. Below 50%, you just buff.
Jesus. Sounds okay, like so this, is this patch. Just like a... Is this a surprise overnight thing? Because I'm going to tank my main's win rate as fast as I can.
True.
I'm going to get the fucking Targ boys to run it down a couple of games.
Just getting organized effort from like the Targ Discord and the Targ subreddit. Everybody, we need to
yeah, exactly.
as much as possible until this comes so that our champion has a dog win rate.
Yeah. What do you think about that as like a buff / nerf mentality? Every single patch, Nick, they do a small change to every below and above 50% win rate character.
I
think it's too much change. I understand that. But, like, just, I like, would we eventually get to a point where it feels good? Or I feel like it would shift no matter what. It, like, meta always just shifts, right?
It would always shift, which I think would feel bad. I don't yeah. think it would feel good. It's interesting. I think that's where, I think that is where almost every single discussion point of, like, all right, day one of start like planning the new patch. All right, let's just pull up win rates. Like that's where you should start.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for the answer. Daniel said, I'd smash that delete Fiora button or I'd remove series promotion from every rank except for Iron 1, Silver 1, Gold 1, Plat 1, Diamond 1, Masters, Grandmasters.
Okay.
I like the idea of deleting character. but yeah, I think if they were to remove series promotions, I think they should keep them in at like the top end of the like your two new like tier or whatever. I feel like those are actually pretty healthy. I feel like the other ones are a little bit like kind of tilting.
Also, if
sometimes.
You're going to do that, drop the shit where when you demote you go to 75. That's the most frustrating thing about grinding TFT.
Two
is
games.
That like I can be at 99 and I can win and gain like 9 points. Hooray! I'm promoted and I start at 8 LP in the next division. If I lose a game and I am at 3 points. And I lost 10, I get set to 75. Like, what is that?
Yeah. Get fucked.
So dumb.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to make me play series, don't game. Kick me down to 75.
It's like an artificial series. Brian said, remove this ELO promo and just go straight by LP points. I saw ELO, I guess, is like probably like what would work better. But yeah, I like the idea. Hfire from our Discord said, unbuff AP Kai'Sa W and put some power somewhere else in her kit. 3 second CD on AP Kai'Sa and ARAMs is too much. I do think it's cancer on that map. She just unloads all game nonstop. And that's like all she's really good at doing. It's so cancer.
Yeah. And it happens pretty early too, right?
And she just
like
uses
first
100
or second
AP.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Puff Clouding said, make Tahm Kench not able to, I'm assuming it's able to eat allies and revert the last like 7 nerfs. I agree, man.
He's just not able to allies. Like you, if you pick Tahm Kench, you have to play by yourself.
You gotta
1v9
this game.
I was playing a little bit of Tahm Kench on my Smurf top.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good, man. I really don't think it's good. I was doing like pretty well on it. Like he loses like so many lanes. I still think he's crazy late game, by the way.
Oh yeah,
like, he's still insane late game. Just because you're a unkillable tank that can kind of 1v1 people, and you also protect allies.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I was good enough at jungle, I think he's a good jungler based on how like I've played him. I think.
I think it's a little unfortunate that Blade of the Rune King is also the best item in the game right now, and Tahm Kench yeah. tends to have a shit ton of HP.
Maybe I should build Blade of the Rune King on him.
True.
True. If you can't beat him, join him.
True.
Next
and then
Renekton
W's you and you die.
You should die. Actually, that's the easiest lane in the game still. It's so really? Fucking free, man. Yeah.
Oh.
Toki Joki Loki said, revert Katarina nerf / not let it through. Buff Akali nerf Gunblade. Honestly, I hate that Riot hasn't decided just to listen to the feedback from players who play these characters and plan to buff / nerf them more often. No one wants their champ champion to BOP, considering that means that the champion will end up being banned more often. I don't know how many Katarinas I know have been saying that for so long to nerf Gunblade because of how good of an item it is on her. It's similarly the case to Akali. Gunblade Power Spike is too strong to be considered balanced, which is what would justify the small Akali buff. I agree. I think Gunblade actually is problematic a lot. Like, it's one of the biggest spike items in the game, I think.
Oh, it's also just disgusting stat-wise. I mean,
yeah,
it's relatively cheap. It has a really good power, a really good build path if you're able to make use of any auto attacks, period. And then you're losing, I mean, comparable to, I don't know, another high-end AP, like damage item or utility item, you're losing, I don't know, 10% damage for the ability to heal and have an on-hit slow that does a shit ton of damage.
And has its own AP ratio. Like
What's the base damage of Gunblade? Is it 250?
I think so.
Is that?
That's a lot. It might be 350, but I think that's maybe too high.
I
typed in Gunblade and came up with the Final Fantasy one.
Dude, same. The base is, it scales up to 253.
Okay,
175 cool. As soon as you get it. That's insane.
Yeah,
plus another 30% AP.
Yeah, the AP ratio.
Yeah, which
is crazy,
again, so 175 base plus 30% AP. So of the 80 AP it gives you, it really starts at 200. Right,
yeah, it's
like
crazy.
200
yeah.
is the minimum damage with just the AP that item gives you.
Yep.
Not including your master.
And that doesn't include like any benefit from attack damage, the healing just period off of everything. It's an insane item. I've been like hyping it up so hard for the longest time.
Not as broken.
It's also low cooldown.
Not as broken as Rift Herald. That's true.
Five
charges. Hey boys. Five.
Five. I saw that
for each of my heads.
Crazy.
Five head, dude.
Yeah. I do think that there is some merit though, in like the fact that they should talk to one tricks like more often. Honestly, I do think that there's been a couple times in the past where we've seen like just like a random fucking change to a character, and all the one tricks go, "No, please God, please don't give them this buff. They don't need it." And then like the character gets nerfed later because of it.
I mean, I'm like, that's the thing. I'm sure they do like talk to Hyela once. It's just, I don't know. At the end of the day, they still have the choice, right? If Hyela like, I don't know, Hyela Wukong players didn't want new Wukong to go through. And here we are, and he's in a much healthier game state.
Yeah, he's much better now. And last but not least, Luf says, okay, make Urgot's dumb W target minions, towers, players. He auto-attack last since his W auto-attack resets when you cast it. It would make a good way of fixing dumb fucking ability. The amount of times that I've lost a kill because my W targets minions is honestly in the hundreds. I'd also make it so that items built out of D-Blade, D-Ring, and D-Shield, you could buy one and it would have great gold value. So this isn't quad crit cloak or quad D-Blade all over again. I actually really like the idea of Doran's Bling, Doran's Ring, and Doran's Shield building into like any tank item, AP item, or AD item you like. I think that's a really fucking cool idea.
Oh, I kind of like it, and I kind of hate it.
It's a cool concept, though. It makes it so you can't just, like, stack those items. Like,
I don't like it. I think that they shouldn't build
like, you'd make it, like,
because they're so efficient.
I think it's really cool.
Okay, so I looked this up. Urgot's W.
Your Q.
Oh, sorry, the Q?
No, sorry, his Q makes it aggro, like, charge,
his
right?
E also makes it aggro, and his ult, every single ability applies it. It says
I do think the idea of like an auto like making it like prioritize that is not a bad idea though.
I would be fine if it was
I think
first
needs
auto
buffs.
After and then it went to its default targeting, which is I believe the closest thing.
The closest enemy, period. Unless you have something marked in range.
But I'd be fine if it was like you can auto plus, and then the first W proc hits what you just hit. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't just always lock on
plus
to
the,
what you're hitting, because then there's like no skill of having to hit your Q or E. You just walk up and blend people.
It also says that attacks from his W resets his mark. So if you have a champion marked and you keep attack them with W, they'll always just be attacked.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of sounds busted.
Yeah, Urgot is a little bit busted, dude.
You know what I want? I want Urgot's fucking interaction with Conqueror to be fixed. He shouldn't be able to just instantly proc it.
Yeah. I think I want Urgot's interaction with building items to be fixed. He goes from being the dog shit ugly trash can to like building three items and 1v8ing.
Yeah. Because he has a Yumi on him, or why, like, what'd you
pick? He's stupid. And okay. Ugly and a crap.
I left the game.
Anyways,
when
next
I saw
week's
the
roundtable question. This week's roundtable question is: if your main was released in season 10, how would they be different?
Well, I main. I main, obviously, as you know, the best champion in the entire game, Senna. So.
Shut up.
I haven't even played game Senna yet.
Tell me how Zillion would be changed if he was released
Zillion
today.
Was true. Released today. What would change? 99% slow on his E would not be that. His passive would not be that. I would think that his Q would have much clearer prioritization of what it's hitting. And I would also think that probably if two bombs overlapped, I would think maybe they would pop one of them. I don't know about that. But definitely the prioritization would be a lot clearer. His ulti wouldn't give you nearly as much health back, and he'd probably have a secondary damage ability. Like, I could see if they made it so, like, his slow reset his Q cooldown and he actually had a real W or something. Like, if you movement speeded yourself, you also got your cooldowns refreshed a little bit, but if you slowed down, I mean, maybe you didn't. I don't know. There's so many things you could do with him. He's very far down the line on fixing champions, but God, would he not work like he does today.
Well, hear me out. I have a great idea for a Zillion rework. It's actually just reworking his ult. You can ult enemies, and they revive, so you can kill them again and get more gold, but you get, like, kill gold
True.
Both times. Thoughts?
That's actually kind of genius. Nutty. I kind of like that.
You farm the
you
fucking
catch out
injured.
Their Fed AD carry, who has like she's 20-0, so they have like 1,000 gold like two times over. You just fucking kill them, revive them, kill them.
Can you imagine Jesus. How upsetting that would be though, if like you res somebody and then their team showed up and they just like aced you? Everyone on your team would flame you so hard. Like,
oh,
they
absolutely.
Already flame you if you don't ult them.
There'd be so
it's fine.
There'd be so much fucking trash. Like, you could just revive, like, a corpse. Actually, that'd be so sick. What if you could just revive a corpse, like, with Zillion? That's how he'd be released today, right? If you had a revive?
True.
You wouldn't need to, like, use it before they died. You'd just be able to use
Maybe.
It, I think.
I could see that.
That actually, that's
Like, yeah, they
that's
still get
cool.
the gold for killing it, but you just bring him back.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I think it's healthier for the game,
yeah,
too, to be honest.
I like that. That you can just, like, cast it on a dead ally and bring him back.
It'd have to be longer, like a much longer cooldown, right?
Oh, for sure. It'd have to be longer channel, too, obviously. Like, you'd have to channel it sort of thing. But I really like the idea, because you still give them gold and stuff and shutdowns and, like, stack drops and stuff like that. I think that's, like, cool.
True.
Anyways, I would choose Tom Kench, and I would remove the ability to eat allies. But give him all of his bullshit back, because he was already the best top laner in the game. No, Jesus. But honestly, if he was released today, I bet his entire team could probably go with him in his ultimate. Like, honest to God.
Probably.
And his Q would probably, like, apply stacks, and then when you spit minions to people, it would probably also apply stacks on them.
When did Tom Kench come out?
2015.
Holy shit.
I think. Or is it 2016? Tom Kench, lol. It was... 2015.
It's gonna be like 2012.
Thomas Kench is 5 years old, you guys.
Dang.
What about you, Nick? How would you if Lucian was released today? Do you want Tark or Lucian?
I don't know, man. Oh, okay. It's gotta be I'm gonna pick Tark because I think this is funnier. Yeah. With every rank in his W, he gets to cast it on an additional ally.
It's actually insane that might actually happen if he's released today.
Can you imagine how terrifying that would
eventually...
be if you had 5 Taric stuns coming at you?
Holy shit. I want that so badly.
What if it was every 2 rank? So, like, at max rank, you could have 2 people.
No, because I want to put it on every single character in the game.
I just want to alt them. It's global.
Oh, obviously, yeah. Mm-hmm. The W never detaches.
For real. Yeah.
Do you think that's more overpowered, having five of them on your all your allies, or having it global on one?
I think global on one.
Global on
then
one.
I think global Jungle Terek on becomes so fucked. Good then.
Dude, I mean, support like Terek is laner? Fine. Yeah, you put it on your top laner, you put it on your mid laner.
If you're just going for trades, you stun. You have to be so hard to play, but it'd be sick.
It'd be so sick.
Like, Funnel or Jungle Terek would become god tier. Like, your Renekton's just top, and you're just farming red buff, like, constantly healing him.
Well, the thing is, like, I feel like you could just play him support, but still just funnel your fucking, like, jungle.
True.
Because you can just use all your abilities. Like, your auto attacks deal a bunch of damage.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm thinking in jungle is, like, you'd have blue buff, and you'd be constantly auto attacking. So, like, your Q cooldown would be up every half second, and your top laner would just be up there chilling.
That's like playing the most broken version of Abathur.
That's so cancer. That's actually so much better than having a five people, which is crazy because that's overpowered. Yeah. Anyways, your main was released in season 10, how would they be different? You can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeeCast, send us an email, mail@leecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section.
Pog. Let's move into mail fight. First email is from Robert. Hey guys, I'm back on my 13-hour days again. Moved back to my small town in Manitoba, where the Wi-Fi is iron tier. So you're currently the only source of League of Legends I get. Speedrunning is a challenge, and I'd suggest Pokemon Red and Blue for that. I've done it and had much fun doing it. I'll be joining the Patreon soon because I love to top tier content.
Probably just the.
I love your top tier content. Let's go that. Yeah.
Sure. I love the top tier content. Yeah. My question to you guys, because I've been playing a lot of reset champions, Pyke, Darius mainly, but who would be the most fun champion if they got a kill, assist, reset?
Karthus, obviously.
Karthus, yeah.
Okay, so, like, would he be the most fun? Is it fun to cast Karthus ulti?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I feel like it's not that
Press
fun.
Press R, win game. Come on. I think it'd be kind of hilarious if Galio ulti reset on kill assist. Or like TF, like any global, I think is hilarious. Like, you just zoom around.
Oh, okay, honestly, Jarvan. If you get a kill, you just fucking dunk everyone again.
Like, I guess, like, even Garen's, like, sick. I know it's, like, the exact same as Darius, but I just love the idea of Garen's sword just coming down multiple times in a fight.
You hear I hate justice it, but... five times.
Ooh, what about Xerath? It refreshes all five charges if he kills
someone. I was thinking cool. Something very similar for Jhin.
Where you get I would hope it'd be, like, maybe half the ammo back. You get full ammo back if you get a kill.
He reloads his gun.
Can you imagine how upsetting that would be if it was like a really fed Xerath that could 100 to 0 you with ult, and he's just like sieging your team from half the map away. It just keeps resetting.
Yeah.
He kills whoever's in Fountain consistently.
This is tough. What about Yasuo?
Okay.
If you get a kill, you knock up a nearby enemy, ult him right away.
I think it'd be cool if, like, you killed them during the ult duration, maybe. I think that'd be, like, the only balanced way to do that. But, like, if you kill them while you're ulting them, you just get a cast again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. Like, it wouldn't knock anyone up.
It would just go down to a zero cooldown.
There essentially wouldn't be a cooldown. Yeah. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Robert.
Next email is from Seguiz. I've been listening for a while now, but never sent an email.
I think seagulls.
Oh, that's an L, not an I. My bad. I'm just used to seeing Owen Wiesen.
True.
I've never sent an email. True. I play mainly top lane with a rare occasion. Ooh. Of the autofill to other lanes. My question is, in champ select, it seems like 9 times out of 10, I see an AD mid lane get picked on my team, and of course jungle is going to be an AD champ as well, so it kind of pushes me to play an AP top laner. Is that the right move? I just feel like it's too easy for other teams to pick a tank and build straight armor and bone our team. or even the rest of the team to benefit from some sort of AD damage reduction, whether it's a Ninja Tabby or Zhonya's Hourglass. Should I care about a full AD team? If so, any thoughts on AP top lane picks besides Rumble or Vlad that have an impact in the game? Carry potential. And no, Aiden, Lick Boy is not an answer I'm looking for. We already talked about how Tahm Kench is bad.
Yeah. So my favorite part about this email is that it's his first one ever. He's never sent an email before. So I appreciate you signing up
whatever,
for
whatever service you signed up for. We're happy.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting.
You're
going
to start getting emails about like penis enlargement and girls that want to date you. Just ignore those.
And they're all true. They are all true, but you should ignore them. Because if you do, you'll get better offers.
Exactly. There are hot singles in your area, but
they get hotter the longer you wait.
Okay, so
do we think having a full AD team comp is bad? Yes. Because armor pen is dog trash? Dog shit?
It's not garbage. Great. And armor items are really good, and they're characters that just are obscene with armor. Malphite, Rammus, Ornn are three really good examples because not only do they get their armor, but they get, like, Malphite gets scaling bonus armor.
A lot more.
From how much he has. Rammus just gets, like, plus 200 with his W, and Ornn just gains bonus armor and resistances from everything always. So, like, it is easy to hit 600-700 armor on those characters. So, all AD, not good. Is it the end of the world? No. You can make an all AD composition work, especially if you see that they don't have a tank. So if you were, an example, last pick, you've got AD jungle, AD mid, AD carry, regular support. We'll just say it's a Janna. All right, Zed mid, fucking Lee Sin jungle, and a Draven AD carry. So about as physical can get on your team. But they don't have anyone on their team that can actually effectively stack armor. You know, if they've got, like, LeBlanc and Ashe and Nami and their jungler is, like, I don't know, Elise or Nidalee and their top laner is, like, Quinn, right? Like, they don't have anyone on that team who can really do anything. You could still play a top lane that is AD and has a good matchup if you're looking for that. But in general, you want to avoid it, and you're not always going to be last pick against a team with zero tanks. It's very rare. I would state that mid lane I think is very heavy AD right now. As someone who's been playing a lot of AP junglers, that's really good for me because then we're never an AP heavy team, which I think is even worse than an AD heavy team.
Absolutely.
But me playing an AP jungle is a lot more often the right call because of so many AD mids, but I think good AP jungles are actually pretty common right now, or at the very least, tanks. Most tanks are heavy magic damage. That's where I would point you, besides, like, Rumble and Vlad, is, like, Zac, Nautilus, Malphite.
Elise. Fiddlesticks.
Well, for top lane.
Oh, for... Yeah, okay,
so
I'm sorry.
Like, for top lane, just pick an engaged tank. Like, again, Nautilus, play Malphite, like... You can play Galio top
play
still
Ornn.
If you have to. Play Mordekaiser. He's nuts. Mordekaiser's insane. He does crazy damage. Like, there are so many tank
play
or top laners that deal mostly magic damage.
Yeah, honestly. Ornn, Maokai, Mordekaiser.
Yeah. Malphite.
Malphite. Special shout out to Sylas, who is really fucking strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's...
You just maxed up your
knee. A lot of options in the jungle and top lane to get some extra AP on your team. If your mid laner goes AD, I also think that AD carry right now, there are several builds that are highly viable that deal mostly magic damage. I mean, you can just go an AD carry with an on hit build, and that does a lot of magic damage. Or there's always the, you know, Swains or Talia's of the world that operate just fine. Bot lane.
Syndra,
Veigar. Like, there are a lot of options. There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to have a balanced team composition every game other than people refuse to pick it.
Yeah. I also think if you're playing top lane, you can just pick any mage top. And as long as you're pretty decent at dueling, you'll be fine. I think mages have very good itemization choices into most top laners. If you're going against an AD top laner, you by Seeker's Armguard Ninja Tabby, and then you're very, very tanky. But yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's not end of the world if you go full AD, but it's making it a lot harder than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thank you, Seagulls. Next email is from Elliot. So this last spring split, we saw Cloud9 dominate the Rift. If Miss Rona allows Worlds to still happen and C9 continues their domination of NA, do you think they have a chance at getting to the finals at Worlds? Why or why not?
No Meggies.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It's just like,
because you said it in our group chat and Colton asked and you didn't explain it.
Well, it's just like, it's like a derivative of no megalol, which is no, and then omega law, which okay. is the and it's just a derivative of that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just no, no meggies.
Yeah, so that, like, the thing is, Cloud9 is a good team, right? Compared to NA talent. Are they a good team compared to G2, compared to Fnatic, compared to SKT, who have been dicking everyone, mm-hmm. from what I've seen? Probably not. I mean,
it's just hard to tell.
Yeah, I think they have a very solid chance to get out of groups. I'd probably be fine with betting on that. But to get to finals and say the hard thing is saying, like, is Cloud9 a top two team in the world? And I can't say yes, no. because they're in NA and their hardest competition is FlyQuest.
Yeah, it's just like their heart. It's crazy that when we were going into finals, the two teams that we thought could beat Cloud9 were TSM and Team Liquid, the ninth team and the sixth team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that the talent's not good in NA right now. Like, I'm not trying to, like, shit on Cloud9 either. I feel like we talked about them a couple weeks ago, and Fed said, like, they're playing the games out perfectly. The way that they use Herald is fucking fantastic. Gets them free dragons every single game, right? Like, they play every part of the game so well, but they're kind of just being allowed to do that. You know what I mean? So until we figure out, can they do it versus a good team? We don't know if they're good enough to be on the world stage at that level, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of difference between, like, the specific regional metas that mm-hmm. develop. And NA seems to generally adapt to other regions' play styles rather than develop their own, which has historically proven very not successful, I'll say. So it's hard. Yeah. They look like a great team in NA. They're shitting on everyone they were supposed to shit on. So
it's not even close, yeah.
For real. Cool. Thank you, Elliot.
Next email is from Shmooby. Hey, LeagueCast, love the show. I have a question I think would spark some interesting debate. You choose four abilities from all champs, and you combine them to create the ultimate champ. Rules: you can only use one ability from each champ, and each ability must correspond to the original character, so Qs have to stay Qs, etc. Thanks for reading. Also, any tips to get out of iron? Kind regards, Shmooby. So we've definitely done a build a Frankenstein champion like this before.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what we ever decided on.
How about we do it for only characters that came over out in the last 2 years? That sounds more interesting.
That does sound, yeah.
I'll just pull up the list.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to call somebody out that came out 7 years ago and be like, oh, oops.
I'll tell you the characters. It's only going to be like a list of like eight, but yeah, we've done this like a lot of times before, but we'll do the only like the newer characters. So Set, Aphelio, Senna, Qiyana, Yuumi, Sylas, those characters actually. Yeah, Sylas, Yuumi, Qiyana, Senna, Aphelio, Set. Or the last 2 years.
Sorry, I need to see the characters. I'm just going to...
I feel like you got to take Sylas ult.
Sylas ult's insane, yeah.
You got to take Sylas ult.
Sylas ult is insane. Do we...
Those characters don't function all together because Aphelios can't really...
No,
nothing
you can't take anything Aphelios from Aphelios.
Can go on anyone. Nothing. Or Yuumi, right?
So I feel like Set has the best passive.
Yeah, his passive is insane.
Okay, so we take Set passive.
Sylas ult.
Okay, we're completely disregarding Aphelios and Yuumi.
Ooh, okay. Okay, hang on. Alternatively, Senna has a fucking amazing passive as well, where you get the souls and then you just get crit strike chance.
True.
But you don't get any. Your base 80 is 50 and never can increase, right?
Yes. But that's they just had abilities. Right. They didn't say base stats.
True. I mean, let's go. Is that tied to our past? I don't know if it is actually. Never mind.
I don't know either. It's either set or Senna, I think.
Wait. What if you took Yumi passive and you could just attach onto somebody but steal everyone's ult?
Oh.
No, that's her W.
True. You're right.
So her passive is shield and mana.
Steal her W. Because okay. You can be a good character, but you can also attach onto people to be untargetable.
True.
You can steal everyone's ults and get souls.
Okay, so we have
Q and E.
Q and E, okay.
Mm.
Okay, it's got to be Yumi E as well, right?
I feel like the issue is if we take Yumi W, we have to take Yumi E.
I think Yumi E might be the best ability in the game.
Yeah, let's go Yumi E as well then. And then Q.
Oh, these characters don't have very good Q abilities.
They all kind of suck, yeah.
Is Nico included?
We could include Nico. She's like late 2018.
Okay.
Or we do Pike, who's also... He's mid. Senna Holy Q. Shit, there's only three characters in 2018? That's insane.
Yeah, I think we just take Senna Q.
Yeah, let's take Senna Q. That's insane.
And I think as long as this is on a ranged character, she's OP. It's OP.
We'll take the base health and health regen from Set and the base attack damage. We'll take the base map. we'll just pluck stats for the best possible combination.
Oh, boy. As for your other question, any tips for getting out of iron? You could plug in your keyboard in your mouse, and I think that'll be beneficial.
No, it's really just fundamentals, like just working on very like basics, right? Like understand what characters do. Assume you haven't played for like a long time. If you've played for a long time, you probably know what characters do, and that's just working on fundamentals like CSing properly, warding properly, just basic map awareness, understanding what objectives
are. Play one character. Especially if you're an iron, play one character.
Yeah, become a win trick.
Play one character until you evolve, and then you start
look up his account.
Your champion pool.
Also, I really like your account name, because I started putting SCH on the front of words. And so I'm making shmoney. I'm shmoving.
You're becoming an actual shmaiden.
Shnasty.
okay. He doesn't have that summoner name.
Okay, well, we tried.
Next email.
Yep, good luck. Hi, cast. I'm Bobby, back with another game mode that I thought of. So imagine a game mode with double or less cooldown, with double, triple mana cost. But in order to get the cooldown and mana cost down, you would need to farm, and eventually it would be like Earth, but with mana. I have one more thing. I ran Hail of Blades on Volibear, and I got fed both times. Is that a rune for him? Sorry for the long email, Bobby. How dare you hit us with that long email, Bobby?
It just sounds like you're playing Dota. Ability with triple mana cost.
Triple mana cost and huge cooldowns. They also one hit you.
What if TF cost 150 mana?
My favorite thing about Dota is there are characters who can steal stats. Mm-hmm. And some of your characters' base stats are tied to other stats. So for instance, your character's intelligence determines at a very base level how much mana
how they're gonna do
that
in
character
life,
has.
What type of job they're gonna get.
Yeah, no, that's just attractiveness. Boom, got him. R/ nice guys. No, but your character's intelligence is linked to mana, and mages tend to have higher intelligence, higher mana pools because they use spells more often. There are characters who can steal intelligence, so you can't, at some point, you're not able to use any of your abilities because your character's too stupid. Your character's too dumb to use abilities.
My teammates in solo queue.
True. Whereas you have a fucking top laner who has teleport. It sounds like slow Earth, I guess.
Yeah.
Like Earth that ramps up, which is hard because
what if they just made it where the first 10 minutes of the game is normal and then Earth turns on?
What if it became a percentage more Earth as the game
every
went,
minute or, it becomes or a little the, more Earth?
Every minute it becomes, I don't know, 50% more Earth.
I do like that idea, though. It's slowly ramping into Earth.
Yeah.
That's actually cool. I really like that idea.
Yeah. Or obviously, I don't think it should start as a normal game. Maybe it would start at like 25% Earth and then ramp up from there so everyone gets to have fun still.
It would make the like characters that are really annoying in lane, like the really high heavy poke ones, like a lot less terrible.
Yeah, like you could actually build something up before that turns on, and you actually like be able to express skill on some characters instead of just spamming the shit out of their abilities constantly.
That's a really cool idea.
Nice. Thank you, Bobby. Oh, Halo Blades Volibear. Yeah, sure. He's about to get reworked, and I think it's a little bad for his new character.
Yeah.
Just because he already has many auto attack resets and ways to proc things that you would want to proc with auto attacks. Press the attack's really good on him. Conquer's really good on him. Phase Rush is really good on him.
Aftershock's really good on him.
Yeah. Grasp, as always. But yeah, current Volibear, I think you could go Halo Blades Voli top lane and go something, I don't know, something like a Blade of the Rune King, Titanic Hydra, Wit's End, Steric Gage sort of build.
Pog.
Yeah, Spirit Visage and a... What's the run fast item?
Righteous Glory or Dead
Deadfast? Deadman's Fuck.
Righteous Glory. That's the one.
Deadfast.
Deadfast Plate. Deadfast Bowl.
I'm just going to move on to the next
Thanks, Bobby.
Next email here we have is from CloudStrife. On the show, you guys recently discussed what champions you would like to see a new cutscene between. Maybe it's just the Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan of me, but I would love to see a Vayne versus Vladimir. Both are old characters and have gone through periods of popularity again and again, but neither has had significant presence in a cutscene in the last few years, if memory serves. Yeah, I think we've seen like a little itty bit of Vayne, but nothing serious for either of them. That'd be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You also posed the question of video game crossovers. My favorite game series is Kingdom Hearts, so I suppose I will put forth Sora as he is the flagship character, though Riku is my favorite. Aiden, who's your favorite Kingdom Hearts character?
Probably Axel or Demix or, yeah, probably Axel.
Okay. Hypothetically, he could have a 3-hit combo on his passive that times out if he doesn't auto-attack close enough together. To represent the emphasis on his combos in Kingdom Hearts. His Q, W, and E could be Fire, Blizzard, and Thunder. His ult could be an empowering ability that allows them to cast a more powerful version of one of those spells. The empowered versions would do more damage and cover a larger area. To differentiate the three damage abilities, maybe give Fire damage over time, Blizzard a slow, and Thunder a short stun or root. As for League of Legends character... to appear elsewhere, maybe Yumi in Kingdom Hearts. She could hang out around the unfortunately ever-present 100-acre wood book, maybe?
That seems like a good crossover.
I do think it's really funny that CloudStrife's favorite character that he wants in a in League of Legends is Sora. It's fucking funny.
Especially with the Final Fantasy VII remake game.
It's just fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Nice. I mean, that sounds pretty cool. His abilities sound kind of boring, but I guess he kind of sounds like a damage-dealing karma, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that's sick. Nice. Thank you, Cloud. Next email is from Aaron, who says, "Hey, so after watching Void Boy's video about trolls... I want to know how I can overcome them in ranked. In my games, I keep getting trolls who say they're running it down because I didn't gank them enough, or they just want to. In my last game, I had a 2-18 bot lane who kept inting and kept tower diving the enemy Leona saying in team chat for the horde. I can see how some people think it's funny. But I'm trying to climb out of Silver Elo and it's getting hard with these people help. Oh, Aiden.
It's pretty funny, though.
No, it's hilarious. I mean, it sounds like it's unfortunate.
I'm gonna play a little bit of a devil's advocate. It looks like you've been playing a lot of Twitch jungle in Silver. And I think Twitch jungle is definitely a pick that can work. But if somebody sees Twitch jungle on their team, there's a decent chance they're just going to end that game. Like, people don't respond to non-meta picks well, so I would avoid those.
I would avoid. There's some people who just will not try if you don't pick meta, which is kind of like lame. It's not really your fault. But I do think that would help, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you also have to realize that bot lane is... Not to justify these individuals' behaviors if they are legitimately running it down. It's a fucking hard lane to play if you're behind.
Yeah.
I think if you're behind, there's really nothing you can do except hope your team comes in clutch, because you're playing characters that are stat sticks, basically, and when your stat stick has less stats, you just lose.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot you can do. So, as for that, your best thing is to just keep a level head. There are going to be games when you get players who you may perceive as inting who are just having a bad game. There are going to be times when you get players who are inting and you guys 100% could have won that game. The alternative is you're also going to get times where the enemy team is running it down and having a bad time, or they're inting where they have a disconnect, something like that. Eventually, with enough sample size, with enough games, it'll all come out in the wash, and you'll wind up where you're supposed to be.
I would also say, for the specific example that you gave, stop being an alliance Chad and join the Horde, and then they'll be on your side.
I did find the game, though. It was his Iron 3 Misfortune, who went 1-18.
Yeah. Okay, so you linked your OPGG. We don't want to do a review, but in this game in particular, you also did go 7-15.
Yeah, I mean, it's also one of those games where Twitch jungle like is feast or famine, and if the enemy AD carry has 21 kills, which they ended with, I don't think Twitch jungle could do very much in my...
Oh, absolutely, especially not with a 14 kills in Zhao on the other team.
Yeah.
But there's always more that... There's, especially in... I'm gonna say, especially in Silver 4, there's very little games in which you probably play 100% perfectly, and that... There's a lot you can focus on individually to try to get those games into victories. Like,
yeah.
But you are going to have people who in probably with more frequency in lower ELO, and it's kind of just the way it is. But if you play enough, you'll get to where you're supposed to be. No doubt about it.
It's crazy that Misfortune didn't get banned. She's still playing games.
Yeah.
What is League of Legends, man?
I mean, is that happening every game for her, though, or...
No, she like played well all of her games, and then that game she's decided to like run it down.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. Who knows how that game played out?
Next email is from
Machina.
Machina. Whatever. Subject: Akuma in League. I wonder what it's about.
Pog.
Hey, what's poppin'? It's your boy, Machina. I'm gonna say it wrong every time to piss you off. Back at it again with another Boba-fueled email to the thick boys at LeagueCast. Nick mentioned Akuma in League, so I did the sensible thing that a League of Legends champion designer would do and sat down at my desk for a total of 30 seconds before I started to improvise each ability as I typed it out. I'm not going to bore you with numbers because God knows someone in my ELO is not going to be able to balance champion. So I'm just going to throw shit at a wall and say, fuck it, let's go. Passive. It's FGC, bitch. This passive establishes your dominance over the rest of the Virgin League of Legends cast because you're the Chad Akuma, the most OP character in whatever game you're in, and fuck everybody else. It also gives you an EX gauge instead of mana. Auto attacks and actually landing your abilities build up meter, and I haven't figured out a way in which you can use it effectively without being weird within the QWER confines of the game. Q, Hadouken, or Go Hadouken. It's two skill shots with a small cast time in between them. Hit them or don't. Hitting them both gets a slow small enough to not matter to the Akuma player, but enough to piss off whatever person you shot them at. The EX version makes them both come out at the same time. W, Go Shoryuken. It's a dragon punch. Moves you forward a bit with the cast to make it feel better, and a knockup if you land it, because why not? Think like a Rakan W with not as much range and only for one person. The EX version has a small radius which stuns whoever's around him when he comes down from the Shoryuken. E, Ashura Senku. He can dash short distances, short cast time once he comes out of it, and his next three auto attacks are empowered him, giving him that sweet Akuma damage. The EX version turns it into a blink. R, Misatsu. It's Misatsu. Does a fuck ton of damage. IDK, I'm not Jat. EX, makes it do even more damage. I have no idea how to design a champ. I just like Akuma, and I think if he was in League, it'd be the coolest, most confusing thing I'd ever seen in a game, besides that one time Cup Noodles made its way into Final Fantasy 15.
Wait, so hang on a minute. His ulti has to be Raging Demon, right?
I don't know enough about...
Maybe Misatsu is Raging Demon.
It's not. No, it's not. Raging Demon is the one where he hits something, and then the screen goes black, and then there's a bunch of hits, and you just see his back turn towards
yeah.
the camera.
That's his ult.
Pretty cool.
It's the cool. It's like the coolest ability. That has to be his ult. Are you kidding me? It turns your computer off.
You just disconnect the opponent. And then the Riot Fist comes out of the screen and actually punches the player.
It just punches the shit out of him? Mm-hmm.
What was the game like? Fuck. What was the Wizard game on Steam?
Wizards 101? Oh.
Wizard.
Oh, no, no, no.
Steam.
Oh, fuck. What is that?
Magicka.
Magicka, yeah. You basically just played Invoker.
Yeah, what was like? There was the blue screen spell, though, right?
Was there?
Yeah, Magicka crashed a desktop.
Oh my god.
Causes a random character, enemy, ally, NPC, minion, or even the caster himself to instantly die and disappear into thin air with an animation of a small blue screen.
That is hilarious.
The best spell in that game.
Sick. Yeah, thank you, Machina, and it's definitely Raging Demon is the ulti. Next email is from Ian. Hey, just wanted to give a heads up to everyone. Be extra careful with account security right now. With the increase in hacking and scam attempts going around last week, someone logged into my account, played three games using some software that got flagged by Riot's anti-cheat in the middle of the night. And when I went to log in the next day, I discovered I had been permanently banned. I've been playing in the account for over 10 years. They never sent a verification email to provide a login code to what I assume was not a trusted device. Even though Riot says they do that here. So yeah, just be sure to keep passwords safe and maybe update them because this sucks super hard. Thanks,
I think he just
Ian.
Has another personality yes. that went and logged into his League account and he was just high or something.
Just super toxic.
Yeah. If anything, open.
Yeah, no, that's super unfortunate.
You can probably get it back.
Yeah. Sorry, bud. Let us know if you get your account back.
If not, you Thanks, can have Nick's.
give it another week of bad rank.
Next email is from Withak. Hey boys, how's it going? I was thinking about the list of roles to carry with question. I really think it changes between low elo and high elo. In terms of low elo, I think it likely goes mid, top, jungle, ADC, then support. I don't think jungle has as much impact in low elo because there's so much to do, and if you don't have steady flow and fall behind, it's hard to come back. And supports being the lowest because you don't have the damage to potentially hard carry. Low elo supports tend to be more passive or dive and die. In high elo, I would think it's jungle, mid support, top, then ADC. In regards to the idea of the Udyr change suggested before, my answer to the roundtable question for this week is, rather than giving him a billion stances, which I thought was kind of cool and reminds me of 9 from BlazBlue, his temporary buffs could stack rather than run for 3 seconds. So rather than switching between stances, you could spam Tiger Stance to stack attack speed to a certain point. Lastly, I have a question for you guys. What do you think is the worst role to play for solo queue? Not the hardest role to carry with or to play, but just the most feel-bad role. I personally think the consensus is likely jungle. I'm a low elo player, and a lot of people don't understand that you can't help everyone. That you want to snowball leads rather than helping the 05 top laner 10 minutes into the game, and there's just too much going on. Enjoy the rest of your days with Ek. So I think you're absolutely right that the answer to that question changes depending on what elo you're at. Like, in general, I think jungle is always, jungle and mid are always going to be near the top. But again, personally, I think, the lower you get, I think the higher top lane is on that list. because you can run games, like, run away with games on, like, Fiora or Riven. But, like, when you get to, like, Diamond or Challenger or, you know, LCS level, like, even if you're winning top, like, if the other player is good, they can just play Maokai, get a CS deficit, and wait for late game. So you're spot on that it changes throughout the game. And I think that support probably is lower on that list the lower elo you get as well. Udyr. Or do you disagree?
I don't know. Like, I only disagree with about support. Because I think, like, if you're talking about in general, like, yes, supports in lower elo probably do tend to be a little more passive. But that, like, if you play it well, you don't have to be too passive, right? Mm-hmm. Or pick bad plays. I think it's we're talking about the, like, the highest potential that a character can have, I guess, rather than how does it work primarily, I suppose. But other than that, like, I agree. For Udyr, so the only thing that's busted is Tiger Stance stacking, because then you just probably win every single melee matchup.
Yeah, it'd be pretty nuts. And I think that, like, a lot of the other ones don't really make sense stacking. Like, where your shield just gets more shield. Your movement speed, like, is already diminishing returns.
I guess you'd get additional life steal?
I don't know, maybe, yeah.
Nah. Yeah. Yeah, and this just seems a lot harder to balance, I guess. Like, because now you can balance it based on, okay, he can only cast it one time rather than he can cast it 8 times over and over again, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, if anything, you should make him last a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then worst role, I mean, I, as a jungler, I feel like playing jungle is the worst. Like, you get flamed as a jungler, I think, more commonly than in any other role.
I mean, sure, but I think as the jungler, you have the most agency to change that around. In my opinion, it's got to be AD carry. I don't think it's not fun to play if you're losing. It's not like you can just go to another lane and gank, because you're just an AD carry, and generally you don't have any CC and you don't have any damage.
AD carry is definitely
bad. You become very quickly very helpless if you fall too far behind, and it's hard to it's hard to come back from that against competent
players. Yeah, I think in terms of how you feel playing the character, I'd put AD carry there. If you are asking, and if you are, like, very susceptible to being flamed, I would definitely, like, the role you're going to get flamed the most is playing jungle, I think. But yeah, it feels awful playing AD carry from behind, and even, like, even if you're doing okay, it doesn't feel great.
Yeah, because you still get one hit by the, like, 1 in 3 Syndra, right? Who built zero armor but has enough AP in her kit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Withek. Next email is from Cyber Turtle, back at it again. Hey guys, I was just thinking about when I first started League. I started League and learned it on 2 champs mainly, Vel'Koz and Jinx. Who is the champion you learned the basics on, and do you still use them today? For me, I still use Vel'Koz as a counterpick to any top laners I don't want to deal with, such as Vayne and Quinn. Sincerely, Cyber Turtle. Those are that's a pretty good list of champions to not want to deal with in the top lane. I learned the basics of League on Ashe, as I think
much everyone who started the game when Ashe was the tutorial character.
Yeah, the tutorial character, I believe, given to you for free at level 1. Probably not.
So for me, I can't remember that far back. TF was one of my primary picks, because Warren used to play TF a lot, and he was already, like, level 30 when I started playing the game. And so I would watch him play and be like, oh, that's a pretty cool character. And I understood, like, how he was supposed to function. So all I had to learn was, like, how to operate it.
Yeah.
And now look at him now. I'm way better at League 10 years later.
It only took a decade. No, you've been better for a while, I think. Don't tell Warren.
Oh, he doesn't listen to the show. It's fine. He doesn't interact with people he likes.
That's... No. That's not true. You guys play D&D.
True. That does happen.
I don't play Ash a lot anymore. I feel like I usually int when I play Ash, and it's not very fun at all. What about you, Colton?
I don't really play TF or Ash at all anymore. I guess I still play Ash now and then.
Same.
But, like...
Yeah. Did you have a character, Aiden?
Like, who's your go-to?
Not necessarily.
Like 5 to 30.
Ash and who else?
I mean, like, I don't remember, like, pre-30 at all. Like, I remember I played Ryze. I didn't know how to play him when I played, like, BNA. And I remember, like, when I actually played the game when I was really, really bad. I don't know if this was pre-30. I don't know if this was post-30. I only played Nunu and Morgana.
I remember you said you went, what, Rylai's Nunu?
Rylai's Nunu every game, yep.
Perfect.
I thought it was really good because it gives AP and health.
Yeah. And it added the slow.
Well.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you, Cyber Turtle.
Next email, the penultimate, I believe, is from Yui.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the role queue in League, like in Overwatch? Personally hated the idea for Overwatch, but now I'm finding myself wanting it in League. I'm a support main, but sometimes want to play other roles and characters, and if I do play other roles, I feel like I'd be ruining my climb as a support, and normals are just not that fun. The difference in how games are played is huge and not comparable and feels less rewarding. I think I'm addicted to the ranked feel. The obvious solution is to play Smurf games, but it feels less rewarding too. What do you guys think? At least if you have role queue, you don't get those people who lose 5 in a row and try to swap roles only to lose a few more on those. Always feels bad when you get a Cassio one trick trying out Fiora top for the first time in ranked. Yoit.
Well, that's always going to happen regardless. Also, that already existed in League at some point.
Yeah. It didn't go that well.
A year or 2 years ago?
It went fine. It just wasn't like, it didn't solve all the matchmaking issues. Maybe people
thought
it would.
Yeah, well, okay, so it wasn't, like, bad, it just wasn't better, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah, it was basically the same.
Well, the main problem is, like, the fact that the higher elo you get, there's less people queuing even more now, because you're queuing for special, like, roles and stuff.
Yeah.
Meaning, you only really give a shit, like, imagine if, like, for, you know how Overwatch queue, you want to do your support placements, right? So you play your 5 support games, and you have your support elo or whatever, right? Imagine in League, though, imagine that in League where it's like, yeah, I'm whatever ELO support. And imagine the people who get auto-filled to a role they don't want to play. So meaning I'm challenger in mid and I'm only D4 on AD carry and I get auto-filled AD carry and I go, I don't give a fuck, I'm a mid main. So I just don't even give a shit.
Yeah.
And I don't care if I win or lose the game because I don't lose any points.
And
mid.
I mean, that you...
The problem is there's auto-fills, I guess.
You lost a little bit of points in the other one when League had it. Not a ton, but like 3 or 4, I think. But again, like you'll get that issue, and especially like I wouldn't be surprised if you saw way more AFKing at high elo or people just quitting. Like, oh, I got AD carry this game, and I'm trying to do my challenger grind. Like, I'm just gonna AFK so I can get a mid game, because like the points don't matter. Like, I'll get 2 points for a win, or I'll lose 2 points for a loss. I'll just leave.
Yeah, there just can't be autofill if that's going to happen. I don't think League can be played without autofill. I feel like the queues are just too long without it.
In terms of how do you play other roles, I mean, I would say make a Smurf account and develop a good off role. Like, you should have a secondary role that you're not as good at as your main, but like if you're a gold one player, you should be able to go 50-50 in a game on a secondary role while playing at your rank.
I mean, just bust out some normals to get familiar with the characters that you want to play in that role, because I don't think the mechanics are incredibly different between most roles. Bot lane and jungle being the exception.
Honestly,
probably.
Like, if you take a little bit of an elo hit, I think personally it's worth it as someone who wants to be able to play all the characters and all the roles. Like, I am not as high elo as I could be if I only played one role or if I only played one champion, but I'm fine with that. I'd rather be a well-rounded player than maybe the highest rank I could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Oit. Last email is from Foxloaf. Subject, Vivian's Vizar as Venture.
I knew this. Yeah, I heard about that.
Hey, gang. When you came with the idea of JoJo fights featuring Set and Vi, it got my mind flowing, and now I've created an art? Question mark. Obligatory sorry in advance for the long email, even though I'm not. Without further ado, I present my magnum opus, Vi's Vizar you didn't commit to it the second time. Adventure. Part 1, Ghostly Essence. The full moon was the only light that guided the pair of enforcers through the abandoned village that threatened to choke them from the dust they kicked up with every step. Are you sure he's here? Vi asked in what she called a whisper and what her allies always referred to as gentle shouting. Yes, my sources are good. They saw him coming through here several times. He must have a safe house nearby, Caitlin responded in an actual whisper that, despite her best efforts, still resonated several meters with no other sounds to mask it. She knew she wouldn't be able to take the stealthy approach. After all, she'd brought Vi with her. If we stick together, we'll be here all night, Vi said as she surveyed their grim surroundings. If we split up, however... Caitlin raised a hand to cut her off. Normally, she was against it, but it was only one Ionian, and not a particularly subtle one. She sighed and then reluctantly nodded. Fine, you know the signal. Yes, a gunshot, and then I'll come running. They exchanged a nod and a confident smile, then went in opposite directions. Caitlin took every corner weapon first and checked every corner, but there was nothing, not even insects to reward her search. This entire village was devoid of life, and it unnerved her. Even the wildlife seemed to know that something bad was getting ready to go down. Hey, sweetheart, it's me, Set, a deep voice resounded from behind her. It certainly wasn't Vi's voice. She whirled around to see a behemoth of a man. Vestia? A smirk was plastered up on one side of his face, and his eyes had already measured her up. Now they were planning. Stop, you're under arrest. She raised her weapon, but he was gone as soon as she got it up to her shoulder. She heard someone clear their throat and whirled around again, and once again... there he was. Now both sides of his lip curled into a sadistic grin. Next, she felt pain as he slammed his fist into her cheek and staggered her backward. You shouldn't have come here, he said as he lumbered towards her, savoring the moment. Caitlin fired off a couple snapshots, but they flew through empty air where Set had been. Next thing she knew, he was pulling her to her feet from behind her. How was he moving so fast? She felt his knuckles again and staggered off balance several feet before collapsing. She pushed herself to her feet and dashed into a nearby building that she'd searched a couple hours earlier. Set strode into the building and looked around. I know you're in here, darling. As he walked, his foot snagged something and a light went off in his face, a loud chemical explosion going off and blinding him. He heard the bolt of a gun and dove to the side, narrowly dodging a bullet. As he staggered, his foot hit something metal, and he heard a snap, a bear trap closing in on the toe of his boot as he pulled his foot free at the last minute. Another bullet rang out by the time it reached him. He wasn't there anymore. But by the time it reached him, he wasn't there anymore. Clever tart, you booby-trapped this building to fall back to, didn't you? He said as he threw out a pocket of dust that coated the tripwires. She stood on the balcony, the moonlight illuminating her as she sighted in on him. It's over. I can sense every move you make here. Set smiled again and a chill ran down Caitlin's spine. In an instant, he was upon her. She heard her traps all go off at once and then she felt a fist crushing into her stomach. The strength was bestial, punching straight through. He pulled his fist back and then kicked her off the balcony. Vi watched Caitlin fall, bleeding heavily, and started to run towards her, but Caitlin put up a hand to stop her. In her last moments, she tried to understand how he was on her in no time at all. Time. She said in a voice too weak to be heard. With the last of her strength, she racked her gun and took aim, firing one last round. It flew by Set by a wide margin, even missing the back of the building. Instead, it struck a clock tower in the town square, visible from all across the town. The rusted, worn metal crumbled and fell, the clock face falling apart with a loud rumble. Vi had never seen her miss so widely. What was she aiming for? The clock? What could it mean? Caitlin has died. Tune in next week. Where we'll hear the lead cast boys say part one was a mistake. We're absolutely not reading part two.
An ally has been slain? That's pretty good. I kind of wanted to like have us jump in and be the different voices.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that for next week. I didn't realize. Yeah, I can be the narrator.
Yeah, I saw that maybe there was like the two of them and you were doing it and I was like, I typed but didn't submit. I was like, I'll be Set.
Hey, Foxloaf, since you're listening, put who should read what part.
Go ahead and let us know who you're casting as Caitlin, Vi, and Set. and any characters that you add to the next one since Caitlyn is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Your audition, yeah. Go back 14 episodes from now when we do JoJo impressions.
For real. Should we do our best? We could do our best impressions. I'm Nick. I'm auditioning for the role of Joseph.
Oh no!
Thank you.
I'm Colton, and I am auditioning for the singer for part one. Sono Gina Zanami.
Part one was like a decade ago. Hey, Aiden, it's time for your audition. Oh, true. What can we bring him back with? How can we summon Aiden?
I just know I was muted for the entire time. I was talking that entire time. I was wondering if he was talking over me.
That's going to be great on the recording.
it's fine. You guys talked over me, so it was all good. I was saying that I want to... what's it called?
Audition?
Apply. Audition. Audition for the part of Coco Jumbo.
Okay.
It's funny because it's a turtle.
It's a good one, Aiden. You really got us there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can see on the video call that you sucked your head into your shell.
It was really cool. He got the part, honestly. Inside of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that in part three?
That's in part four. No, five.
Five, yeah. Okay, nice.
Okay, I'll find a fucking animal in part three. You fine? You want me to go there?
How sure. about you play Danny and we'll just burn you alive?
That's fucked.
Oh, true. You could be Pet Shop.
I was going to say I could be Iggy.
Oh, Iggy. Yeah, for real. Alternatively, you could be the sun.
True.
What was the video game guy?
Or the gorilla. Oh, the video game guy. Yeah, yeah.
The brothers, right?
Darby.
The Darby brothers.
Gambling and video games.
Nice. All right. Now that we're hyped up for JoJo, we're going to go record this. We're going to record this patron show. Thank you all for listening. If you want to hear us talk about JoJo localizations, make sure you support us on Patreon at the $1 level.
Yeah.
Man, that's a steal. Follow us on Twitter at LeeCast and at LeeCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeeCast. Send us emails to mail@leecastpodcast.com. Check out our website, leecastpodcast.com. Check out our Discord, leecastpodcast.com/discord. Alternatively, you can send us an email and I'll shoot you a link real quick. Finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leecast. Thank you all for listening and we'll see you next week for 4:31. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ciao.